We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Friday evening. Of course, final hour of the program means the start of the Brown Liquor Music Hour. You know how we do it on Fridays. We get the dance party cranked up. Chuck, we always gets the first request. Little Bobby Brown, it's my prerogative. It's my prerogative to pick what song I want, and I did. It's all brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. Get ready for the weekend with Chattanooga Whiskey. It's available at your favorite Atlanta retail store. Drink Chattanooga Whiskey. Enjoy it responsibly. 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Leave us a comment there. As always, we ask you to download the radio.com app. That's how you listen to the radio station when you're on the go. We know you're not in the vehicle as often, so how do I listen? I want to listen to the station, the show. How do I do it? Radio.com app. Put that on your device. Take that smartphone, those Alexa speakers, that tablet that you've got, your LaserDisc player, your VHS recorder, your Nikon camera, your Intellivision, your Coleco, your Game Boy. I don't know what your device is. Just download it onto something to be able to catch us on the go. Social media at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on all the different platforms. Best way to be a part of the show, it's through my personal Twitter handle. Reach me at JMCH316, at JMCH316. Of course, your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. No Jarvis this evening. Dylan is producing the show tonight. He'll be asking the questions at 10:40. So if you got a rank 'em list, put it on the text line, put it on my Twitter page, hit me up there. We'll get a lot more Braves talk coming up in the next segment. But just quickly, Braves up 2-0. Christian Pache with a single to knock in Dansby Swanson. Now 2 on, 2 out. There's a runner in scoring position, first and second. You got Markakis at second, Acuna at first, and you've got Freddie Freeman up, so with a chance to really kind of blow this thing open if he gets a hold of one. And he didn't, and he struck out. So, all right. But 2-0. What do we talk about? Well, I don't want to get into all that. We'll save that for the next segment, right? But this is what we talked about. Push the issue early. Braves are very aggressive tonight, very aggressive on the base paths, doing a lot of aggressive things. Close this thing out. Put the Dodgers on their heels. So we'll get into this Braves and where we're at in a recap coming up in the next segment. But let's get to something that we call our NFL Squib Kick.
Take a look at the NFL with the Squib Kick with John Chuckery. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
So you saw that Le'Veon Bell, who was released by the Jets earlier this week, has agreed to a one-year deal with who else? The Kansas City Chiefs. How are the Chiefs able to just pick up everybody? Like they everybody that becomes a free agent ends up in Kansas City when it's all said and done. I understand why guys want to go there. Is there a rule that if you win the Super Bowl the next year you don't have to play with a cap, or how does that work? By the way, how big of a disaster was the Le'Veon Bell with the New York Jets experiment, right? You know, after all the rigmarole and the hand-wringing and all the wrangling and everything of his time in Pittsburgh, go to the Jets, get the big mega deal, that was a disaster. And boy, the Jets are such a bad franchise. Here's what's crazy to think. what would you say, 3 years ago, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Bryant were two of the five best players in the NFL. Certainly offensive players. I mean, they came in at like Antonio Brown came in like second on the NFL 100. Bell was like fifth on the NFL 100. I mean, think about how, and I've talked about this before, you know, the Steelers wasted, like, literally, like, some of the best talent that was in the NFL at the time. They couldn't win anything. And now, Brown's not in the league. Bell's barely hanging on. I mean, yeah, he's in Kansas City now, but, I mean, let's face it. I mean, he's, you know, he was barely hanging on. I mean, how crazy is that? This is why we talk about with the Falcons. That's why you have to capitalize. You never know how quickly things will turn in the NFL. You know, that league is, this league, NFL is so fickle. I mean, it's so fickle. I mean, those two guys were two of the five best players in the NFL. And now you're talking about a guy who's barely hanging on and a guy who's not in the league. And in 3 years, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy to think about. So he's got a 1 year deal with the Chiefs. He'll go out there and they'll turn him into another, you know, machine out there. That's what they do in Kansas City. But how crazy is all that? I mean, what a disaster for the Jets, huh? Whew. I'm trying to remember what I'll see if this story had the, yeah. 4 years, $52.5 million. He averaged 3.3 yards a carry, which was 51st out of 53 qualifying running backs for the lowest yards per carry. How about this? In 17 total games for the Jets, 863 yards and 3 touchdowns. How about that? Man. 4 for 52.5. The Jets said, yep, no thanks. This ain't working out. So, and listen, you know Andy Reid and the Chiefs, man, they'll find a way to use him and get it done. I mean, it's not like he's got to go there and do a whole lot, right? They won the World Series without him. I'm thinking about the Braves, right? They won the Super Bowl without him. They could do it with him, but they did it without him. So, crazy to think, but just it's crazy to think about the NFL, how quickly things change and how quickly things turn out of all of it. Speaking of the Steelers, coming up this weekend, Browns and Steelers hook up. This will be the first game that Myles Garrett plays against the Steelers since that ejection against, you know, after he got in that fight with Mason Rudolph, you know, and they had that fight last season. He was suspended. Remember, he was suspended for 6 games. Remember, he hit Rudolph in the head with his helmet. But he said he's not really got any of that on his mind right now. After the 6-game suspension, he said he'd hoped to have a man-to-man talk with Mason Rudolph that he's accused of using a racial slur during the incident. But Friday, though, Garrett said he hadn't considered approaching Rudolph on Sunday because his focus is on Big Ben. Telling Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com, quote, I haven't thought about it. Focusing on how I'm going to get Ben. I'll cross that bridge when I come to it, whether that's down the road or whenever we see each other. I'm just focused on the game plan and getting the win. That comes secondary. Garrett vowed to, quote, walk away from any situation that we have during the game and keep his head on, quote, the 6 seconds that the average play lasts before turning his attention to the next one. And listen, Garrett has been a stud this year, you know, and you look at the Browns and they're 4-1, right? Now, listen, they're banged up. I think Landry's banged up. Not sure if he's going to play. Baker took a beating in that game last week against the Colts. There's questions about whether or not he's going to play, but certainly Browns have been one of the better teams in the AFC, finally kind of playing up to their talent potential. But Myles Garrett's been all that in a bag of chips this year. He really is becoming an elite-level defensive player in the NFL. No real surprise. I mean, listen, he was so talented at Texas A&M that he was a clear-cut, easy choice as the number one overall draft pick. But he's really flourishing this year for the Cleveland Browns. So, and look, they've been beat up, banged up defensively as well. You know, like I said, they may not have their quarterback this weekend. Chubb has been hurt. Both of their corners, Greedy Williams and Denzel Ward, they've been banged up and hurt. You know, you're going to, you know, and this is what ticks you off about the Falcons. Falcons can't use injuries or anything as an excuse. Every team in the NFL is fighting injuries and having to go through something. So I don't want to hear it from the Falcons because every team has had stuff going on. Packers on that Monday night game didn't have any of their starting wide receivers and still had no issues. And Aaron Rodgers throwing to running backs and tight ends went 20 for 20 in the game. You know, the NFL has got to step up and get it done. Sorry. Sorry that you're in protocol. Sorry that you're hurt. Sorry that this. You got to step up and get it done. That's what the NFL is all about. And the Falcons have done a, to say that they've done a piss poor job of that would be understating piss poor at this point. So, now, this story is fun and funny at the same time. You know, we talked about in What's Bugging Chuck about the fact that Arizona is going to have 1,200 fans. So as of right now in New Orleans, they are not having fans inside the Superdome. And because of it, there's this real back and forth with the Saints, who, by the way, did you see where Gail Benson, the owner of the Saints, that she was the victim of a an attempted carjacking? Did you see that? That they tried to carjack her, and I didn't read the whole story about how it ended up. But I mean, she's okay and everything like that. But how crazy is all that? But the Saints are looking for an alternative right now because they want to have fans in the stands, and so they are proposing to go to Baton Rouge and play games there. And this is kind of becoming a public feud with the New Orleans Saints and the mayor of New Orleans, LaToya Cantrell. And in fact, yesterday she endorsed the idea of the Saints relocating to Baton Rouge as soon as October 25th, which is the Saints' next home game, if they want to have fans. Saying through NOLA.com, quote, "I think that could be a great place temporarily. It is an outdoor stadium. They are allowing fans in the stadium. But right now there is no way, given the current conditions, to allow 20,000 fans in the Superdome, an indoor stadium, when no one else is doing it in the United States of America, because it's the right thing to do at this time." Now, it was brought up to her about the idea of these retractable roof stadiums allowing fans despite the roof being closed. But Cantrell, the mayor, said that she's more focused on fixed roof structures. Okay? So if you have an open air stadium, but you close it and there's no open air, then that's still okay. But if it's closed all the time, then there's no way you can do it. I understand. It's semantics, okay? By the letter of the law, she's correct on all that. But how funny is that? They want fans. They can't do it. She said, "As we continue to see progress in the city in terms of COVID-19, we'll always be willing to and at the table with our Saints partners as it relates to fans. We're not there yet. When we get there, I'll let you know. But it's going to be working in coordination with the Saints administration as well as with our public health partners." So, and the Saints say they want some fans. They want to play in front of some fans, right? It gives them an advantage in this, that, and the other. So, you may see the Saints in Baton Rouge. How crazy is all that? What a different environment that would be, huh? Anyway, yeah. Listen, if that's what it takes, I mean, you know, good. I'm glad to see the Saints in the mayor fighting. Let them fight it out, whatever. Of course, I guess it doesn't really mean a whole lot for us at this point. I mean, they're 3-2, we're 0-5, and you know, not going to catch anybody anytime soon in this division for all of it. So, all right, update the Braves, still 2-0 here as A.J. Minter did get a chance to come out for the third inning. So when we get back, we'll update you on where we're at and what's going on here with this Braves game. Keep you up to date on all of that as the Braves try to clinch this National League Championship Series and take a trip to the World Series. Talk some Braves baseball with you next. Mookie Betts, see you later. Adesta Lasagna, don't get any on ya. It's all next. Chuck Rich Show, Sports Radio 929 The Game on the Radio.com app.
Sports Radio 929 The Game. Now you can listen to the game anywhere in the world. Just go to Radio.com and stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24-7. Only at Radio.com and the Radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Sports Radio, Nights in the Game. Back with you on the John Chuckery Show. Brown Liquor Music Hour rolling right along. So brought to you by award-winning Chattanooga Whiskey Cask 111, the only Tennessee high malt bourbon handcrafted in small batches and bottled unfiltered from the cask. This is what we call a big deal. Drink Chattanooga Whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Radio.com app site catches on the go. Social media at 929 The Game. Hit me up at JMCH316. By the way, Rank'em coming up next. So if you want to hit us up on the text line, if you want to hit us up on my Twitter page, do it there. All right, couple things. Let's get into. Number one, okay, before we talk about the Braves, let's get the fact that the Astros won today 7-4. So after being down 3-0, they have come all the way back and are now in a game 7 against Tampa. So go Astros, hashtag for the H, okay? Let's make it Astros Braves in the World Series because I want people's minds to be blown up that the Astros are back in the World Series out of all of it. Now, Braves, A.J. Minter pitches 3 scoreless innings tonight, and I thought he could go 2 innings. He went 3. So let me see if this is good or not. Maybe somebody can help me out. He faced 9 batters, struck out 7. Struck out 7 of the 9 guys that he faced. He was filthy good. I would imagine Darren O'Day, who was warming up, will be coming in next. Absolutely, positively, could not have asked for a better outing from A.J. Minter. He was flawless. And what did we talk about early on in the show about all this? I have supported the decision. I thought it was the right guy. Throw hard. Keep their lefties off balance. He kept Betts off the bases, kept the lefties off balance. He's done everything that you could ask him to do in that stretch tonight. So what a fantastic performance by A.J. Minter. 7 of the 9 guys he faced, he struck out. Incredible, huh? Just the one hit, you know, to Justin Turner, right? Turner got the one hit, and that was... that was it. Unbelievable how good of a performance that was from A.J. Minter. I mean, boy, Bryce Wilson and A.J. Minter stepped up unbelievable these last 2 nights. So now the Braves turn it over to their bullpen. Dustin May is already out. So we're in the bottom of the third. Dustin May is already out. So they've gone to their bullpen as well as the Braves lead 2-0. Ozuna standing at first base with nobody out and Darnell up at the plate. And we talked about, listen, this is exactly the scenario that we were describing early on in the game. You're welcome, by the way, as we do it here every night. Get out early. Put the pressure on. That's a rope. Put the pressure on. Put the pressure on the Dodgers early on. Get some early runs. Get them into their bullpen. Start making them have to make decisions. Start making their defense play. The Braves have been aggressive on the base paths tonight as well. That's another thing I love seeing. I keep talking about that. So I tell you what, you get Astros and Braves, you got 2 teams that are good at, you know, getting things going with their legs. That would be, to me, that would be the most fun series, would be Astros and who wants to see Tampa Bay in the World Series, with all due respect? I mean, they're a good team. I mean, but give me the Astros and the Braves in all of this, for all of it. So had 5 consecutive strikeouts did A.J. Minter. That ties an NLCS record. So he could not have done more for this. And listen, I said, you know, earlier in the show, you know, at the very beginning, I said, hey, I'm going to pay Brian Snicker a compliment that I thought that was the right decision to go with A.J. Minter. I think he had the right idea of get their lefties off balance, get a hard thrower in there, and try to steal a run or two in that first couple of innings. And they did. They did exactly that. Now's a chance to try to add to it. And listen, Ozzie with a good job there. Hits it to the right side, see? Second and third now with one out, so fly ball brings in another. You know, and this is where the Dodgers start pressing because, look, the Dodgers can do a lot of things offensively, no question about it. But they want to sit back and hit the long ball, right? And that's why I keep saying keeping Betts off the bases is so big. Because otherwise, you know, they want to just swing for the fences. But once you can get Betts on and you can let Seager use all of the field and now you start to get some guys on base, that's when you make a mistake to Muncy or Peterson or Bellinger or Will Smith and then you get in trouble, right? And, wow, that was a hell of a play. Boy, Betts caught it. Betts caught it. Ozuna tags up. He gets the run for it. So now 3-0 Dodgers, or Braves, I'm sorry. And they got a chance to open this thing up. So do they call that a single or do they call that a an out? I think they're going to review that play. We'll see if he actually caught it or not. He caught it for sure. Did they call that, Dylan, I did not see, did they call that a single or did they call that an out? Okay, all right, because he tagged up on the play. Yeah, he tagged up. I think what they're looking is did he actually tag up on the play? Did he leave early on the play? So I think that's probably what they're reviewing out there. So as it stands right now, 3-0 Atlanta. We'll see what this review looks like as Ozuna just scored on that play. He's off the base already. That run's not going to count. They're going to take that run off the board. He was already off the base. He was about 3 feet off the base? Off the base? that's really not tagging up in Major League Baseball. They'll let you get away with a little bit of that, but that's really not tagging up. That's really not tagging up in Major League Baseball. So I can't imagine that run stands, unfortunately. And I guess, is he out? I guess he'll be out on the play. So that'll be a double play, which kind of sucks. That would take them out of the inning. But the Braves doing exactly what they need to do. Get to this team early. Put this team away and be done with the Dodgers. No need to play tomorrow. No need to give them any hope. And by getting out early, you know, and again, that's been the Braves formula, right? Is get out early, get that early lead. And when they get that early lead, I mean, they haven't lost in this playoffs yet for all of it. Hell, they've only lost one time, period. That was the only time that they didn't get out first was when they gave up 11 runs in one half inning, right? So I don't know what's taking so long. Good Lord, that was a pretty easy challenge on there. And he was like 2 or 3 feet off the bag when Betts caught it. He's got to be standing on the bag. So what are they going to call him? Yeah, so they're calling him. So they call him out on that. So you get the double play. Well, that kind of sucks. Dang. That inning smelled like there could have been a couple more runs. So Ozuna gets called out because he didn't tag up at third. Boy, that's one of those things that you hope that run doesn't come back to haunt you, right? That's one of those things that you hope that run doesn't come back to mean anything out there. So keep the foot on the gas pedal. Couldn't have asked for a better start with A.J. Minter and what he gave this team. And somebody was asking earlier about, you know, the best matchup in the World Series. I think the Rays maybe are a better matchup. Pitching is probably better than Houston's because Houston, obviously, with all the injuries, I mean, no Verlander, but, you know, they still got Greinke, you know, out there, and they're getting it done. But I think Tampa Bay's offense isn't at the level of what the Braves is. I think Houston is a much better offensive team with the way Correa and Altuve and Michael Brantley have hit for that group. And really, Bregman was hot, but he's gotten kind of cold in this ALCS. So, you know, they – they've got a lot of guys in their lineup too. You know, they've got a pretty stout lineup, but hell, it really hasn't mattered what lineup the Braves have faced thus far. They've been getting after it against everybody, you know, out there. So hopefully that run doesn't come back to bite the Braves. That's one of those things where you're kind of like, oh man, gosh, you'd have liked to have seen them not lose that ability to get that run in out of all of it. But you know, listen, that's one of those mental mistakes that catches you in these baseball games out there. So. And that'll be fun. Listen, tomorrow, Game 7. Listen, at least we get a Game 7 out of the American League Championship Series. So it would be more fun to just be done with tonight, right? And then let's just sit back and watch. We got college football going on. I don't know what time the ALCS, I mean, even if the Braves somehow have to play tomorrow, that ALCS game will be the feature game. I'm assuming like Fox, and I don't even know if they got college football, because there's no Big Ten or Pac-12 games, so it's not like they got to worry about some kind of primetime game or something on there right now. But I would assume that Fox will have it at like 8 or 9 o'clock for the ALCS Game 7 deciding game out of all of it. So good stuff. But, yeah, listen, couldn't be a better start for the Atlanta Braves. They need to get this thing wrapped up tonight, and then certainly get rested up and ready to go. Even if tonight that the Dodgers find a way to come back, you still have Max Fried going tomorrow, so you get your ace. I'm guessing tomorrow, if they had to play, that will be a rematch, right? Buehler versus Max Fried would be what that matchup would be in game seven for all of it. So, who'd they bring in? Matzik. So, see, this is the strategy in this game that we're seeing, is that, because I thought they had O'Day up and warming up, but the idea is that the Dodgers are so left-handed heavy in their lineup that throw all your lefties out there. So you got Minter in the first three innings. Now you get Tyler Matzik out there. I doubt that we'll see Drayton out of all of it, but you could see Will Smith again. I think seeing Will Smith again is a definite possibility. So you basically try to neutralize those big lefty bats, but somewhere in there they'll mix in one of the right-handers. I mean, I don't know who that's going to be in the middle of this thing, whether it's O'Day or whether it's Josh Tomlin or something like that. But Matzik in now in relief, and he's been outstanding in the postseason. 11 strikeouts, one walk in 6 1/3 innings. He does have a win in all of it, but hasn't given up a run. 6 1/3 with no runs, 11 Ks, and only one walk. That's doing some business right there. Let's see if that ball stays in the ballpark or not. And it does not. So they bring in Matzik, and of course he gives up a home run to Corey Seager, who's been red hot. But see, there again, it's keeping Betts off the bases, so that just becomes a leadoff solo home run, and hopefully doesn't lead to a big inning. But that was hit the dead center field. And by the way, they're playing the World Series in this park. So this is the park that the World Series is going to be played in. They're not going out to the West Coast or anything like that. So this park is the same one that the Braves. So that should be an advantage for the Braves as well, the fact that they've played, you know, at least 5 games in this park and have a pretty good feel about playing in the outfield, the bounces, the caroms, you know, how well the ball travels and this, that, and the other. So let's hope Matzik can live in the damn. See, that's what I was just talking about. You hope that little insurance run doesn't come back to bite you, because now it's just a 2-1 game. Now it's 2-1 instead of 3-1, and who knows if, you know, the Braves end up tacking on more runs in that inning. So let's hope that doesn't come back and hit them up for all of it. So, and Corey Seager got a hold of that one, man. That was a high cheese fastball that he walloped out to dead center field. Pache thought he might have a little bit of a play on that ball. He didn't miss it by too much. I mean, it was just a little bit out of his range, but that was a shot. And now Justin Turner, all right, that's some hard hit balls so far. A couple of hard hit balls off of Matzik thus far. But, you know, just listen, one inning at a time, right? One inning, right now you just got to think three outs at a time. You know, just get through each inning and close this thing down. So, all right, when we get back, it will be time for Rank 'Em as we head toward the top of the hour in the JR Sports Brief. Have a little fun with you here to end this week on a Friday. Sports Radio, not to the game, on the radio.com app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, Swanee. It's Andy Bunker here from the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Thanks for listening to us every weekday from 10 to 2 on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with you on the John Chuckery Show. Brown Liquor Music Hour rolling right along. Headed toward the top of the hour with the JR Sports Brief. Brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. Drink better during happy hour with award-winning Chattanooga Whiskey 91. It's available at your favorite Atlanta retail store. Drink Chattanooga Whiskey and enjoy responsibly. Braves get out of the inning. Only the one hit for Seager, the home run. Only damage, 2-1 Braves, and they get that run back. 404-741-0929 is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Social media at 929 The Game. Hit me up at JMCH316, and the radio.com app is how you listen to the station when you're on the go. We've got some rankums coming in here on the text line and also on the Twitter machine as well. So we used to do something where we called it, we would pick Randy's brain, pick Hugh's brain, get a little bit more information and learn a little bit about these guys. And one of the things that I used to do with those guys is I'd give them a list of stuff to put in order. We thought we would steal it, and we call this segment Rank 'Em.
All right, here we go. Got some good rankums for you tonight, Mr. John Chuckery. So,
all right, and Dylan in the house, by the way. No Jarvis tonight.
All right, so I just came back from a road trip. Basically, the final destination was Boston. My girlfriend's sister goes to Harvard, so we made a nice little three-day road trip up there, three nights at a right outside Massachusetts, and then came on back. Anyways,
did you actually go to the campus of Harvard?
Yes, yes.
So what does that look like? I mean, was it really cool? I mean,
it's actually super, super pretty. Like, you're on the water. You're right there on the head of, like, the Charles Regard River. So it's super, super nice out there.
That would be very cool. I would have enjoyed going to see all that. So that's cool. That's good.
Yeah, Boston is super nice. So it's got me thinking about, you know, seafood, because everybody was all, you know, my girlfriend's family was talking about, you know, lobster and seafood because they're out in the water and stuff like that. So it got me thinking, John Chuckery, I want you to rank your favorite seafood dishes from these dishes right here. Lobster roll, crab cake, good old fried fish, and we're going to get bougie with some caviar. Rank them.
Lobster roll number one, crab cake two, fried fish three, and I've tried caviar once.
You fancy.
Yeah, you can miss me with the whole caviar thing. I don't get the appeal of it and all that. I mean, and I didn't have like beluga, you know, high end caviar or whatever like that. It was at a party at an event, and I tried a little bit, and yeah, you can miss me with all of that. Caviar goes way down on the list. I'd rather eat just like, you know, worms. That would be just as fine. It'd be about the same thing. So fish, I don't get the appeal of it, but whatever.
Eggs, and worms—the equivalent for John Trucker. Yeah, good to know.
How about this? Just I'll eat some sardines out of a can instead.
Okay. Yeah, that says a lot right there.
Yeah.
Okay. So you had me cracking up earlier today talking about Bill Plaschke and Woody Page and all them. So, you know, you don't need anybody on this show. You do a great job hosting yourself. But if you did have a co-host out of these four people, I want you to rank them. Bill Plaschke, Woody Page, Nick Markakis, and Brian Snicker. Rank them.
I'd have Snicker would be one. Markakis would be two. Plaschke would be three. And if I had Woody Page as my co-host, honestly, I'd walk into the studio with a folding metal chair, and he'd be like, "What's that for?" And it'd be smash right in the face. It would be like basically like when Mankind walked back out of the 98 Hell in a Cell, and he had the steel chair carrying with him like he was going to go do something. I just have the steel chair with me, and I just hit him in the face out there. Now, I like to talk snit about old school baseball and stuff like that, but listen, Woody Page and Bill Plaschke. I mean, that we were talking about that around the horn. What a dreadful show. I mean, a dreadful show.
Awful.
Oh, I hate those guys. Oh.
All right, so we're going to move on. So, John Chuckery, it's starting to get cold outside. And when it gets cold outside, you know what that means. You know what season it is when it's cold outside?
Cuffing season, right?
Oh, there you go. It is cuffing season. So,
yeah.
You know, you are the man who brings everything to you 3 to 6 months in advance. So before it gets too cold, we got to give the people who you would cuff during cuffing season out of these people right here.
Okay.
Rihanna, Margot Robbie, Kate Upton, and Tessa Thompson.
Rihanna's number one. I've said before, I am completely fascinated by Rihanna. In fact, I think that she's got a lot of dirty girl in her. She's one of those that honestly, like after a weekend, I'd be done. Like she would have me on all fours with a dog leash and walk me around town. Would be what that would be.
She actually did that to somebody in one of her music videos back in the day.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah, she'd do that to me too, as well. So, I'll go Margot Robbie 2, Kate Upton 3, even though she annoys me, and Tessa Thompson number 4 out of all of it. Kate Upton though does annoy me. So like,
yeah.
You know, I
you can only put up with her for so long.
Yeah, and I won't say what I was gonna say out of all of it. Here's good for her and Verlander together and all that.
Yeah.
Here I'll be the a-hole and I'll get people all angered up. You know, there's an old saying that says that for every beautiful woman, there's two guys tired of her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's a spicy meatball right there.
That is. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. John Chuckery delivering the spicy meatballs. All right.
That's how we do it.
I want to get to this one before we get to some on the text line and Twitter and all that good stuff. So Halloween is fastly approaching, and I want to just get your good old ranking for your favorite Halloween movies out of these. So the Halloween series, the Chucky or Child's Play series, whichever one you want to go with, Friday the 13th, and Edward Scissorhands. Rank them.
Oh, Halloween! The original Halloween is the greatest horror. I think it's the best horror movie of all time. The original one is so, and the whole story about how they made that movie is fascinating too. I mean, like they had no money,
right?
They made that movie for like $25,000 or something like that. It's really stupid, like how low budget that movie is. But it's so great. The soundtrack is so great. To it, it's magnificent. Now, you know, there's some really awful ones in that, but the original one is so good. In that list, you've got Friday the 13th would go number 2. I'd go Edward Scissorhands 3, and I never understood or got the whole Chucky Child's Play thing.
I'm glad you said that, because me personally, if Chucky was a thing, it's a doll. Like,
yeah.
How can you not control? I would punt Chucky in the next week. Like,
right,
come on now.
Like, dude, I'd have a sledgehammer, and I'd smash that thing into 70 million pieces. There wouldn't be anything left of Chucky doll. I'd have a sledgehammer, and just it would literally be like dust, and then I'd throw it in a blender and make, you know, soup out of it. It is so stupid. Like this little doll. I don't care if he's got a knife or not.
Right.
Just
and I don't
bring
care.
It. What's he going to do, stab me in the knee?
Right. And I don't care how many times he comes back to life, because that's the big thing, too, how they kept it going. He just reincarnates and his soul moves to a new old Chucky doll. I don't care how many times
they even
he comes
sewed
back
up,
to life.
They even sewed up some of the old dolls and stuff like that.
Yep,
yeah. Exactly. I always thought that. The only thing that was good about the Chucky series is, man, I like that Jennifer Tilly. Oh, do I like her. Oh, man. Listen, if you're a Jennifer Tilly fan like I am, if you've never seen the movie Bound, oh, yeah.
She on your cuffing season list?
Oh, man, Jennifer Tilly. Listen, go watch that movie Bound with Gina Gershon and Joe Pantoliano. The guy from Bad Boys, you know, the guy that's like the head cop in Bad Boys.
Oh, yeah.
He was also the guy in like U.S. Marshals and in all that kind of stuff too with Tommy Lee Jones and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd know exactly who he is as soon as you see him. But
right.
That movie Bound with her and Gina Gershon, that's good stuff. But I love that Jennifer Tilly. Like, I am fascinated by her. So.
Oh, man. All right, I got another one for you here. All right, so since it is getting cold, we touched on that. So what's your favorite cold weather clothing item out of these? A scarf? hoodie, nice little puffy coat, you know, that are kind of in style now. And then what about a leather jacket?
I'd go leather jacket, especially like a bomber jacket. Yep. Let's go leather jacket one, hoodie number two. I'd go scarf three, and I ain't wearing one of those stupid puffy coats.
You don't like the puffy coats?
Nah, I don't. Aww. It's just, you know, I'm not a coat person to start with. I'm one of those anti-coat people. Like, I don't believe in wearing coats. They're too much trouble to carry around with you.
Yeah, so I agree with
so
that.
So that puffy coat thing, nah, like, it doesn't quite make me want to hit you with the folding chair, but... You're bordering on it, you know? I mean, you're bordering on it.
Like, it's one thing to come in just with the puffy coat, but if you, like, come in the puffy coat and then you got, you know, say something smart to you, they're getting the chair, huh?
If you've got, like, the puffy vest and you got the turtleneck on, yeah, I'm going to have to give you a concerto at that point. So,
oh, what about a puffy coat with, like, a nice, tacky Christmas sweater underneath?
Yeah, that's concerto. Yeah, you definitely. Yeah, you're getting. Yeah, that's probably pedigree through the announcer's table at that point.
Oh, so, my goodness.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Go ahead and let's pull up another rankum here. Okay. So we were talking about earlier. Let's go ahead and do this. Your favorite. We're going to stick with the cold weather theme here and go to your favorite cold weather food. So obviously, chili. Is a high one. Some good chili is good in cold weather. Some other good cold weather food. Let's see. How about we got also, let's get a good soup, chicken soup. So we got chili. We're going to go soup. I kind of put this one in a different kind of realm, even though I know it's in the soup category. Clam chowder. So chili, soup, clam chowder. And then last but not least, how about we go with a good meatloaf?
With meatloaf? Okay. So I go meatloaf one. Mom, a meatloaf! I go meatloaf one, give me chili two, give me clam chowder three, and then the regular soup number four. I love me a good, as long as it's New England clam chowder, not Manhattan. Red Manhattan stuff. Give me the regular New England clam chowder. But I enjoy really good chili, and I'll take it with or without beans. I mean, I'm not pro or against having beans in your chili, but I'll eat it either way with just a little bit of spice. I can't do the real heavy, like real hard spicy on the chili, but just a little bit of spice. I'll tell you what, that when they used to have that chili cook-off at Stone Mountain Park, that was fascinating. I love that chili cook-off at Stone Mountain. That was fantastic. I love that there.
Are you trying to find the right word. Anyways, are you in favor of chili is better the second day? I haven't met anybody that says chili.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely, yeah. I mean, listen, especially like if it's, you know, like get the crock pot and all that kind of stuff and just kind of leave it there. And then what you do is like you just let it kind of like curdle up and all that kind of stuff in the crock pot. And then you turn it on the next day and rewarm it back up like that.
Oh,
and it's perfect at that point.
That's
so,
good
stuff.
All right, those are my rankums for tonight.
All right, man. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. When we get back from the top of the hour, we head toward the top of the hour. It's going to be time for the Love TKO. Going to wrap things up here as Braves hanging on to this 2-1 lead, going to the bullpen again. Chuck Reese Show, Sports Radio 910 The Game, and on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you on the John Chuck Reese Show, wrapping things up for the week. JR Sports Brief is going to be coming up next. Appreciate everybody being a part of the show, watching some Braves baseball here. 2-1, couple of outs, man on first for the Dodgers. But first, the greatest opening lyric in all of music history. Looking back over my years, I guess I shed some tears. Braves get the out here. Betts will lead off the next inning. Shane Green in, by the way. They left Matzik in for another batter. Braves have, I think, 9 strikeouts in 4 2/3. Is that what it is? 9 strikeouts and 4 2/3, I think, is what they've done so far out there. They kept the lefties completely off balance. They've done everything you could ask for as far as a pitching, you know, performance tonight. So good stuff there, getting it done. All right, we got to get out of here. JR Sports Brief up next. For Dylan, it's Chuck Reed. We'll catch you back next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you. Bye. What you think about it, girl?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.